By us, it was between 25, minus 25 to minus 35, and with wind chill, minus 40 to minus 45. And all week, the forecasters were saying and giving us the red sign about extreme cold weather and the danger of it. Just for interest's sake, I Googled to see what was the record cold for Alberta. And it was January 11, 1911, at minus 61 at Fort Vermilion. That's a town about 1,000 kilometers north of Calgary. And the coldest recorded temperature in the world, I read, was around minus 90, recorded on August 2010 in Vostok, a Russian research station in Antarctica. Can you imagine? Minus 90? Well, all this, congregation, had me thinking of the Bible's perspective on the cold weather. Interestingly, if I'm correct, the Bible mentions the word cold in at least 16 different verses in our English translations. And I give them to you in the bulletin even. It's found more often in the original, but different wintry terms are used to translate it. We know the Bible speaks, doesn't it, various times about winter, frost, hail, ice, snow, and even the word frozen. You can look up the reference yourself. But enough of an introduction for this sermon. Let's focus now together, in view of the extreme winter cold that we've been having this past week, looking at Psalm 147, especially verse 17b, where we read, "Who can stand before his cold?" And the aim for the sermon is that we each and all be warmly and heartily spiritually impacted for good in trusting and living to God's praise, just in view of the extreme cold weather of this past week. The theme for our sermon in light of God's word is warm-hearted divine commentary in regards to the cold weather. Often with weather-related forecasts and commentary, especially in our day of global warming phobia, you and I may wonder, what are the true facts now in connection with weather? Well, listen to the Bible's authoritative cold weather commentary. We will learn four holy facts, and just remembering the word cold and how it's spelled can help you remember the points. Notice for one, what is certain and most clear about cold weather, even just going by the text Psalm 147, we are told what is clearly certain and certainly clear, that always, without exception, whenever and wherever the cold weather is, it's from God's hand, and it's by God's command. That's right. And I wonder if you too believe this with all your heart and mind. The cold that we have experienced this past week is not just some random Arctic wind flow or so-called frigid polar vortex. Yes, a polar vortex, I read, is, quote, a whirling mass of cold air circulating in the midair to upper levels of the atmosphere, present every winter. It usually stays closer to the poles, but sometimes breaks apart, sending chunks of Arctic air southward, even down to the States, during winter. End of quote. How many want us to believe that the cold weather of late is indeed just an arbitrary force of nature, which we can expect, yes, especially also, from time to time, living here in Alberta? That's how mankind, by nature, views it. But now listen to what the Bible tells us. Notice in Psalm 147, verse 15, introducing us to the reality of wintry cold weather, wintry cold weather, that it comes from God. That's what the Bible says. What does that verse say, verse 15? He sends forth His commandment upon the earth. His word runs very swiftly. And then follows the truth about God in verse 16. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. He casts forth his ice like mortals. Who can stand before his cold? The cold, congregation, is God's doing. And that by his word. Did you think of that at all in this past week? How the cold was by the divine hand and word of the Lord of heaven and earth. Yes, also here in Alberta. And not just here in Alberta, but in various provinces and down in the States as well. A helpful cross-reference here, good for us to look up, is Job 37, verse 5 and 10 especially. We read there, Job 37, verse 5 and 10, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doth he, which we cannot comprehend. Out of the south, verse 9, comes the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened, made like ice. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land, or for mercy. Do you hear how this passage teaches us? Whatever the weather patterns and forecast each day, congregation, God is behind it. He's the author of it. Isn't that so in line too with what we read in Genesis 8 verse 22? Just after the worldwide flood and Noah's sacrifice to God coming out of the ark with his family, we read then God promises, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's from God. That's a divine promise and divine word of God. Behind every day's forecast and reality, whatever the weather, is the will and word of God. God as creator God and as sustainer God of the whole universe, ruling all things day after day till the end of the world. Yes, we may study the weather patterns and make right and good conclusions based on science of all that God has ordained in the order of the natural realm, but let us never forget, beloved, it's by the hand of God and his commanding word that the weather is what it is each and every day and season and week in our lives. And when you think about this with me, and the question of Psalm 147, verse 17b, who can stand before his cold? Don't you find it a question so God exalting and so man humbling? At the very same time, it's so encouraging too, isn't it, to know that even the weather each day is never just a matter of chance, but it's by God's almighty hand and his holy divine will and word. When you and I consider too the certain and clear fact that just by his word, his command, the Lord can determine the weather here and everywhere, isn't that just so amazing? God is so big that if he brings cold and heat and wind and snow and ice, or gives dry weather or torrents of rain or lots of sunshine, what can we do? What can we say? While we have to be responsible people, surely living here on earth, how good to remember our smallness and God's greatness. You know, we keep hearing in Alberta especially, in Calgary, I hear it lots, how the weather can change just like that. 5 minutes change. But that is not simply because we live in Alberta, but because God so decides and determines matters by his word and will, as he pleases. Psalm 147 is a praise psalm. And the truth that God is the one who determines and controls the weather, and that by his word and command, we are to see as further reason, congregation, to praise and magnify him above all. Is that what we do too, you and I? You know, John Calvin, he writes perceptively in regards to our text, quote, he must have little discernment who in the sudden snows and hoarfrost and bitter cold does not perceive how quickly the word of God runs, as stated in verse 15. Well, warm-hearted divine commentary in regards to the cold weather. It's holy, warm-hearted divine commentary for one, most certain. And notice secondly, it's so outstanding too, outstanding. It's most outstanding, isn't it, when you stop to think of it, that the power of God displayed even with the cold weather, just by His Word and His rule of His command from heaven. Have you thought about recently what magnificent power is involved in God giving times of extreme cold weather? Imagine with me the power that can, in a few days or a couple of weeks at most, with extreme cold weather, bridge over the mightiest rivers and lakes and ponds in the most solid, sure way. Indeed, as someone put it, with the pavement secure and stable in strength and smoothness without a Zamboni, surpassing far the grandest of engineering feats. Yes, the Lord, by His Word, can bridge over what is otherwise unbridgeable, divided by waters. And think of this. God does this work, think of this, in utmost quiet, by the almighty hand and work of God, without a sound from diggers and hammers and concrete trucks, etc. Plus, He accomplishes this especially in the darkness of the night, when often the temperatures dip to the lowest. Astounding reality when you reflect on it. Still thinking of God's power with cold weather, consider also how the expansive power of cold on water, with that God can split boulders and massive rocky mountaintops easier than a log splitter splits logs for the fireplace. With extreme cold too, think of it, how God can stop mankind in their tracks. This past week, at least by us, various schools were canceled, meetings postponed, plans rearranged, all because of the extreme cold. Even the penguins of Calgary Zoo didn't go for their scheduled walk outside some days because, as was said, it was too cold for them. Observe and notice, congregation, how just with a blast of cold, by His hand and word, God can set at naught all human plans. He can make that where you intended to go, you couldn't go. Because, well, your car wouldn't start. Or the bus was late. My neighbor, who has two cars parked outside, quite new cars, said, our cars wouldn't start this week. Congregation, you know what? We are not as big and great and tough as we often like to think. No, we are weak and small creatures of the dust before Almighty Creator God and His powers, even just as displayed in nature. All God has to do is send a blast of cold air and keep it around a while just to remind us of this reality. Do you admit this and confess this too, in praise to God and in humble reliance and worship of Him day by day? Thinking further of how outstanding is this truth about God in regards to the cold weather, besides it showing us so much His power, doesn't it show too His goodness and His wisdom? I mean, what better disinfectant for germs of disease and pestilent bugs and beetles in a time of intense cold? Researchers tell us one of the best cures, for example, against the pine beetle problem, which has been a problem for years in BC and Alberta, one of the best cures is severe cold weather. Quote from Google, According to a researcher at the University of Alberta, the frigid temperatures the province has been experiencing, particularly in the region where the outbreak is at its worst, within and surrounding Jasper National Park, is helping to kill off the pest that has ravaged forests. And won't farmers, also among you, tell us likewise? It's good for the land when having a stretch of very cold weather, killing off those myriads of insects nesting below the soil that can so eat at the seeds and the young plants in the new season. And won't doctors tell us too that a good bout of cold weather can be killing off germs floating in the air, giving us colds and infections, etc.? Perhaps it's a cure also to help fight COVID and kill it. I read from a respected medical resource online, quote, "Winter and its chilly temperatures are a mixed blessing when it comes to human health. We might not appreciate it at the time, but cold temperatures perform a great public health service by killing off disease-mongering insects and microorganisms. And one of the big worries about climate change is that winter will lose its pestilence-fighting punch." But God gives us winter. Along the same line, economists will tell us as well that a bout of cold weather can be so helpful for the economy. While some businesses might not profit from it, others surely do. Like, it can be helpful, can it, for transportation across lakes, especially in northern Alberta, and for supporting the natural resources industry, and even clothing companies. And perhaps what's helping keeping Alberta alive is maybe tourism, I mean the ski slopes at this time of the year, just to mention a few examples. The point is, congregation, the cold weather is not pointless by God's design, but in fact it serves for good in all kinds of ways, if you just reflect on it. Isn't this authoritative, warm-hearted, divine commentary in regards to the cold weather outstanding commentary, especially to in regards to how it's profitable, it can be profitable for our spiritual well-being, for its spiritual intent and impact. I mean, with the cold weather, doesn't God duly humble us and call you and me to submit and to surrender to Him as Almighty God and only Savior God? I mean, who can stand before His cold? Yes, here we think again of that question. Who can stand before His cold? Shouldn't it make us think of other Bible-related questions? Questions like, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Job 14:4. Or what David says in Psalm 130, verse 3, "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?" The gospel truth, beloved, is there is none of us who can withstand the extreme cold for very long. Certainly none of us, as sinners by nature, also we should think about it, can stand before the holy God on our own, not even for a second, except we find refuge in the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Praise God, in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came, sent by the Father, to serve as Spirit-anointed Savior on this earth, in all kinds of weather, by the way. He is the mediator between God and man. And He came, we read in Timothy, that He might give Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We know Christ the Savior in the sinner's place like us. He paid the full punishment for sin that you and I deserve. And Jesus did so to save His people from their sins. That is, even as many as repent and trust and follow Him. Think of another question, a couple questions. Think of the question stated in Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil, the Bible says. And what about the question of Nahum 1 verse 6? There we read what God says about us before Him left to ourselves. Who can stand before His indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? all these questions, congregation, like the question of our text, Psalm 147, verse 17b, who can stand before his cold, all bring out, indeed, you see, our impossibilities before God as guilty, lost sinners of ourselves and as poor and needy people on our own. But consider with me how certain and outstanding is God and His Word and ways as revealed in our text in Psalm 147. For what is so neat to discover is that what the text says about God's Word and will, commanding and determining the weather, even the very cold weather, is it is told us as just a little indication of God's far greater design and wonderful purpose with His Word. The Lord God of the Bible is the faithful covenant-keeping God who by His gospel word will always remain true to His promises. And for sure He will always take care of His people. As many as are sorry for their sins and trust and follow Him. So we hear the psalmist declare in verse 19, after telling of God's word directing the weather, he says, the Lord shows His That means He declares His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt us with any nation. And as for His judgment, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. You see what is being taught here and promoted here is that the Bible-based commentary on cold weather, it's warm-hearted commentary telling us that God has His word, especially pointing us to Jesus Christ, the sole protector from everything evil and harmful in our lives. The one and only Savior of sinners. God looks down on earth and He directs its weather patterns by His command. But much more, this is the gospel tidings. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And He gives us His word to know this above all. And can we not say, dear congregation, that when even what Scripture teaches us about God and the cold weather, that truly it's warm-hearted, divine, encouraging commentary, not only because it's most certain and it's most outstanding, but also it's very loving. It's loving, our third main point. It's most loving for it brings out, you know what, God will not only minister to us through the weather of each day and week, and season, but more above all than that, He will minister to us in and through His Son sent to this earth, Jesus Christ, come to seek and to save sinners. And think of this, will you? When Jesus was here on earth, having Himself in His humanity to face the cold of winter as well as the heat of summer, there is nothing we experience weather-wise or otherwise that Jesus Himself didn't experience, though He never sinned. We can be sure Jesus never once complained or bad-mouthed about the weather, as we sometimes can do. If it's too hot or too cold, or if it's stormy or too wet or too dry, etc. And think of this congregation, the night before Jesus' crucifixion. The Bible tells us this, not for no reason. We are told that many who followed Jesus to the palace hall of Caiaphas, they were what? They were cold. And a fire was made to keep them warm. John 18, 18. Peter was among them, you know, who stood by the fire to warm themselves. And that while Jesus was in the hall being falsely accused and brutally mistreated, and scoffed and mocked at up and down. Oh, what Jesus all suffered on sinners' behalf, including many nights on the mountains alone. No doubt, often dealing with the cold out there too. We know in the end, the heat of God's righteous holy wrath was poured upon Him when Jesus, as a just for the unjust, gave His righteous, sinless life as a ransom once for all sacrifice for sin, for many, for His elect. Did Jesus shiver in the cold physically with hardly any clothes covering Him even as He suffered so on the cross of Calvary? The Bible doesn't tell us specifically, but it was a cold night. We are told specifically. We are spared many details of his suffering for sin, but very likely he suffered also from the cold. Psalm 147 reminds us this gospel message God especially delighted to make known time and again to his covenant people. Yes, how privileged they were above all others by God's sovereign grace to be told and shown the gospel tidings in word and deed time and again. How loving this commentary of the cold weather as something in God's hand alone, being just a dim reflection, the text indicates, of God's grace and warm-hearted mercy and love and saving power to his people, as many as turn to him and trust and obey him. Even in the Old Testament, the people of Israel had the gospel word, you know. They had it shown to them in types and shadows. It was present there and the whole temple ministry and the repeated animal sacrifices, preaching over and over that the remission of sins is only by a substitute, ultimately the promised Messiah substitute for sinners, Jesus Christ. And the question, who can stand before his cold, calls out to us. No one! No one can! You can't either. And do we all admit this? And find our refuge with the Lord God and the Bible, looking to him for his mercy and his protection, his covering, his salvation, his gentleness, his loving kindness, his care, his keeping, in spite of ourselves. You know, the text says, he declares his word to Jacob. And whenever you see that word Jacob, be reminded how it tells us, we by nature are deceivers. We are full of deception and sin on our own, as covenant people of God too. And the gospel fact is, you and I have no pleading ground in ourselves ever for God's mercy. But he declares his word to Jacob, as Savior God. And the gospel message already back in the Old Testament, beloved, in the time of the psalmist, and now in our post-New Testament age, is that we may find refuge and in the promises of God as given in his precious word and as revealed in the precious Savior, Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Revelation. I believe one of our students preached a sermon here not that long ago. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalm 146, verse 5. Is that your refuge? Is that your confidence, your hope? Yes, even as you sought for warm refuge this week at home, and maybe in your warm car, you started it beforehand to make sure it's warm. Do you seek refuge with Jesus in your life? In this regard, did you notice how our text speaks also, how lovingly God controls and commands the weather? Yes, for notice what the text says. Not only does he command the cold and snow and hail and wind when it comes, but notice, he also, verse 18, beautifully brings out, he gives the command for the warming trend too. Yes, time and again. Don't miss that from the text. Are we not mercifully and tenderly given that even now again? It is starting to lighten up, isn't it? It's getting warmer this week, they promise, the weather forecasters. And we know it will, by God's mercy. Praise God, though. Think of it, congregation. The Lord doesn't, even with the weather, ever leave us in only always freezing temperatures, or in only always unbearable heat, or in only always overwhelming floods of rain, or endless blasts of blistering winds. We surely deserve this. But God is full of tender mercies and loving kindnesses for his own name's sake. Yes, that's clearly the loving message with the warm-hearted divine commentary on the cold weather in our text passage. Do you see it with me? It's not something I'm making up here. It's from out of the scriptures before us. You see that, right? God lovingly will have us know Him as ruler over all and judge of all the earth. And by His divine word and rule, God ministers to us in the realms of nature. And by His divine word, the gospel, God ministers to us in the realm of grace and salvation. If we ignore or despise this one only true God, the Savior, and His Son, Jesus Christ, come to this earth to save sinners, you know what? Then we're going to be lost forever. Yes. Left in our sins and sinfulness with no hope of escape from the realm of endless cold or eternal heat. Either way, everlasting condemnation and righteous judgment under God's divine wrath for sin. Will we all pay attention to this? To this warm-hearted divine commentary on the cold weather as given us in God's Word. A commentary most certain, outstanding and loving, while it's yet the day of grace. The question brings out our last point too. For surely, a biblical commentary on the cold weather from our text, Psalm 147, is fourthly also a directing commentary. Directing. Directing us, if it's well. And I say that because the whole of Psalm 147 is really a directive psalm instructing and guiding God's people to what? To praise the Lord. And to live trusting and exalting Him and reflecting Him to others around us. This psalm altogether directs all people to praise the Lord as the one only true God of creation, providence, and redemption. He is the God who wonderfully provides for His creatures, and especially for all His people. All of Psalm 147 is directing us to call on the God of this psalm and ever to trust and follow Him all our earthly pilgrimage here below. Are we doing that? Let me ask, are you and I wholeheartedly believing and following after the same Lord God of Psalm 147 and all His word and will in every detail of our lives? So much beautiful gospel is given in this whole psalm. Or is it not true of you that you, is it true of you, you're not listening, you're not responding in faith and repentance? Are you sitting maybe perhaps on the fence, waffling whom you will trust and obey in life, or who you will follow? Are you living in hypocrisy maybe? In secret sin perhaps? Thinking you can get away with it, with that evil? You can't. For the God who knows everything. I'm reminded here of another Bible reference mentioning cold and hot. And that's what we read in Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16. The ascended Lord, you know, there in those verses declares to those who are wavering and faltering and half-hearted and more worldly-minded than genuinely converted and godly in faith, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold, cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, so that because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee, I will vomit you out of my mouth, says the Lord. One study Bible comments correctly about this verse, saying, the church of Laodicea was neither cold, openly rejecting Christ, nor hot, filled with spiritual zeal. Instead, its members were just lukewarm, hypocrites, professing to know Christ, but not truly belonging to Him, nor heartily loving Him and living for His glory and praise. God forbid that that be true of any of us. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus warns us that in the last days, I mentioned this to the confession class last week, because iniquity shall abound, and literally the word is lawlessness. Because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many will wax cold, will become cold. Are we not living in such times, congregation, when even among church people, let alone in the whole world around us, people are departing from God and from His Word and openly rebelling against it all? And right along with it, we see very clearly on so many fronts increasing lawlessness, where everyone does what's right in their own eyes, and then right along with that, we see what? we see less and less demonstration of faithful, committed, self-sacrificing, precious love shown to one another. Again, let's learn from the cold weather and God's commentary on it and be directed truly to repent and to believe, unless we too want to feel and spread God's chilling wrath and His righteous punishment, not only now, but even evermore in the life hereafter. The Scriptures also show us, even in concrete ways, going by some of the other references to cold weather, what it means truly to trust Him and to follow the Lord and to live under the direction of His Word. Then, among other things, won't we be most thankful and grateful for His mercy and care shown to us in providing relief, yes, also from the endless cold and from giving still so many comforts for us to be able to stay warm even when it's very cold? I had a comfortable ride here this morning because our technology allows for that. We should be thankful. And besides being humbly thankful still, won't we, when truly saved, in responding to the challenging weather conditions in whatever season, won't we pray and work, congregation, to show love and care for those around us who may be suffering trial or hardship in any way? Jesus mentions, doesn't he, in Matthew 10, verse 42, "And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." Think here, congregation, of the many extra opportunities during this cold season to show love and care towards others. In ministries like Mustard Seed or In From the Cold, such like also, I'm sure, in this area. And here I think, too, of many opportunities listed in for example, Come Over and Help magazine. Probably Bonisa as well. Giving us, where they encourage us to give of our riches to help others. Also in former communist countries where there's a lot of poverty and maybe we can help pay for some wood or for some coal for those who are hurting, for those who are without heat in the long winters there, that they too might be warm as we're so accustomed to, even in the middle of winter. Who might you help this winter in battling the cold? To whom around you, within the church and outside the church, in your neighborhood or far away, might you be a bearer of good news, providing, as Proverbs 25, verse 25 says, cold water to a weary or famished, thirsty soul. We read as commendation of the people on the island of Malta, where Paul and all the ship's people landed, stranded from the storm, and the barbarians, that is the natives there, the people that lived there, showed no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. When we truly love the Lord and love one another, won't it show in you and I being gladly directed by God's word in acts of kindness and care for others? Won't we be thankful then even for the cold weather, often giving us more opportunities than otherwise to show God's love in word and deed? We read in Job 24, verse 7, about the wicked meanly leaving the cold destitute and exposed. And in Proverbs 20, verse 4, we are told of the lazy man who will not work when it's cold. But the righteous and the godly, they're not like that, are they? Even if they don't need to work for themselves, they'll work to make sure that the people out in former communist countries might get some coal. Think of the godly wife of Proverbs 31, not afraid of the snow for her household, as she diligently prepares and gives of herself, self-sacrificingly, for warm clothes and due protection for all the family. We are told in 2 Corinthians 12, verse, or 11, verse 27, about Paul in gospel ministry, how he suffered so much. Among other things, he suffered being left in the cold and in nakedness, exposed to the elements. Think of him when in prison, he writes to Timothy, "Bring the cloak that I left at Carpus." And this cloak was, as rightly explained in the Bible note, a large, heavy wool garment that doubled as a coat and a blanket in cold weather. And Paul knew he would need it in prison to help keep him warm. And we read that Paul says to Timothy, do your diligence to come before winter. Are not God's people, congregation, when zealous for God and His gospel cause, careful to maintain good works and showing such like true Christian love to one another and to those around us, being thus directed by God's word, including Psalm 147. And when that is the case, do we not begin to reflect in some measure and pray and work to reflect more and more something of God in Christ, in His infinitely sacrificial love and care to us undeserving sinners? Think of it. Jesus, all His lifetime, as I mentioned, and then especially and climactically of His painful and shameful trial and crucifixion on Golgotha, the place of a skull, even with His death on the cross there. Was He not left horribly exposed to the elements that His people who trust and follow Him might be blessed and provided for soul and body, for now and forever? The point is, you see, when we hear about God and the cold weather, it's warm-hearted, divine commentary that is graciously most certain, outstanding, and loving, and directive. How terrible if in the last day, not only the Word should forever condemn any of us, but even the weather, including the cold spell of this past week. Let's learn to bend the knee before so great and glorious God as proclaimed in Psalm 147. Will you bend the knee before Him? That we all might do so, we'll end with just this. In conclusion, even after the cold weather we've gone through and maybe still have for a couple of days, think yet of this grand and glorious gospel promise to those who trust and obey the Lord. And His gospel word, what am I thinking of? Well, I'm thinking of Song of Solomon 2, verse 10 to 13, where the bridegroom says to his bride, my beloved spake and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my fair one, my love, and come away. I surely want to be among that people, hearing that glorious invitation in the last day. And I pray that I may be used, that others will hear that call now too, and hear it then in the last day as well, for good. Yes, then for the final climactic time. The only alternative is, those not in Christ will forever be left in the cold, and perish the thought that be true of any of us. No, let us hear and rejoice in this gospel word of the divine bridegroom to his bride. For all his redeemed people, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, may God by His Spirit prosper this word then. Psalm 147 in song triumphantly declares, His statutes and His judgments He makes His people know. To them as to no others, His grace He loves to show. For matchless grace and mercy, your grateful praises bring. To Him give thanks forever. And hallelujahs sing. Will you?